On one day, Thursday, October 4th, 3,000 students, educators, and volunteers will visit 75 sites along the Hudson from New York Harbor to the mouth of the Mohawk. It's being called A Day in the Life of the Hudson River. This is the 10th annual event, and in those 10 years, the DEC has had over 20,000 participants total.
What are you doing?
Okay, our two buddies from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation Estuary Program are here to tell us this morning about how this helps people get a feel for the diversity and dynamic nature of the Hudson River system, and most importantly, to touch squiggly wet stuff. Fran Dunwell is the Hudson River Estuary Coordinator. She will be with us in just a moment. Chris Bowser is the Hudson River Science Educator. He's the man here freaking me out. And we have another guest as well, I believe. Hi, how are you? Everyone's coming in. Okay, you can shut that door, Chris. Thank you very much. You can have that mic. Excellent. And Fran, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing fine. Again, Fran Dunwell is the Hudson River Estuary Coordinator. Chris Bowser is the Hudson River Science Educator. And do we have another guest, or?
This is Lori King.
Hi, Lori.
Lori Severino.
Lori Severino. Now, is Lori going to be on the air or no?
I don't think so.
Okay, excellent. All right, just checking. Excellent. Now that we have our attendance out of the way, so this is a cool event, A Day in the Life of the Hudson River. I know we've talked about this in the past. This is the 10th time you've done it, so this is a big deal.
This is the 10th annual Day in the Life of the Hudson River. What that means is after this year, which is Thursday, October 4th, next Thursday is the day, after this year we will have had over 20,000 students and teachers experiencing the Hudson River firsthand, from everything from seining for fish to checking the water quality to sketching out the river and really exploring this estuary firsthand. So we're very excited about this generation of young people and educators who now are stewards of the Hudson River, and they can move forward and do all of this great stuff in their lives that reflect on that positive experience about the Hudson and what they discovered.
And Fran, this is important to get people out and actually, you know, see and touch this stuff.
That's right. The Hudson River Estuary Program is helping people conserve, restore, and revitalize the Hudson. As part of that, we really need to develop a connection with the river. We need kids, we need families, parents, to understand that the river is this wonderful living ecosystem. So this is a great opportunity to do that. You're smiling. Joe is smiling for those of you who can't see.
What the hell is that?
You may hear some rattling around. So one of the highlights of A Day in the Life of the Hudson River is the animals that we catch. And I know how bizarre it seems to bring animals onto a radio program.
Yeah.
But if you could see right now, I have got in a pair of very skimpy tongs a huge, violent blue claw crab. And
why don't you just leave them in the thing?
This is one of the great species of the Hudson that we actually find throughout the river. You can find this animal down in New York Harbor. This particular animal was caught by a commercial fisherman in Poughkeepsie, New York. Here, Joe, you can take a closer look.
He seems pissed. I'm sorry. He seems upset. What is it? What did he?
And you can even find them as far up here as Albany. So this is truly an estuary species. Well, he's a blue claw crab.
Okay.
He doesn't want to be in a fish tank right now. He wants to be swimming around in the Hudson River Estuary doing what crabs do best, which is hunting other animals, getting prepared for the wintertime when they slow down.
But just let it be noted, I didn't ask you to bring him.
No,
was your idea.
No, but he's a beautiful animal, and this is the kind of thing. When you see something like this, you realize, wow, the Hudson River is this link to migratory species, to potentially commercial species, to this broad diversity of animals in the water, in the watershed, and every single one of these links, like this blue claw crab, is basically gives us this richer tapestry that we as Hudson Valley residents get to live in. And it's a good thing that we have these things and we have that natural abundance.
I want it to be noted, Lori, I want you to back me up on this, but since he is now in my possession, he has calmed down quite a bit. I am the crab whisperer.
It's true. It's really true.
I think you are.
It's very calm.
Now, this animal,
I'm not going after with corn tongs either.
Now, last time we were here, we brought a little lizard, and it was crawling up and down your arm.
Yeah, that was fine.
Well, we didn't bring a lizard this time. And in fact, so this is an animal that you would, blue claw crabs, you're going to find throughout the estuary. Well,
they're beautiful. They're really gorgeous.
They are gorgeous. Those beautiful, subtle tones of blue and pink on the claws. I mean, they're awesome. Another beautiful yet ugly animal that we find only in saltwater is one of my favorite, most bizarre species in the Hudson. And I'm holding right now, for the radio listeners,
get the tongs,
a small tank with an oyster toadfish. Now, what this animal looks like, it's basically a giant, fleshy goblin head with a little tail and fins that stick out. It is the most bizarre. Look at that face, Joe. It has buggy eyes, a huge mouth, but yet this beautiful, mottled, almost tiger stripe leopard patterning on it. And it's basically a fish with a giant mouth that lives in the saltwater New York Harbor, and it will eat anything that can fit into that huge mouth. It is the Pac-Man of New York Harbor is what we have right
the
here.
The Pac-Man of New York Harbor. Now, so it's ugly. Now,
beauty is in the eye of the beholder, Joe Donahue. I would say this is absolutely stunningly gorgeous.
Can I say that the hindquarters of the creature seem to be very, with the
tail,
the tail and the striping, is very pretty. Whereas the front, now is all that stuff natural, or is that sort of a buildup that has come over time?
No, it's naturally covered with fringes and growths and bulbs and everything else. And the whole reason for that is camouflage. This animal looks like a rock. It looks like weed. It looks like just some bogus slime at the bottom of the harbor. And if a little fish gets too close, whap, that oyster toadfish just reaches out, sucks them into that mouth, and has breakfast.
Our staff photographer is on the scene. Ray Graff is here. He's taking pictures of the creatures.
But again, the whole point with this is a lot of people are amazed to know that these things live in the Hudson River, in New York Harbor. And when you suddenly, whether they're children or adults, you start to introduce this idea of the diversity of life that's in the Hudson River. Suddenly, the river is not just a beautiful place, it's filled with interesting creatures that people want to find out more about and find out more about how to take care of those. And hopefully, by participating in A Day in the Life, by participating in other programs of the Estuary Program and the Hudson River Research Reserve, hopefully these people then, these kids grow up to be mayors, planners, decision makers in their communities, and we can keep working with them through other programs that we have.
Fran, what do you do when Chris brings this stuff to the office?
Well, we all stop what we're doing and we come look, because Chris has a way of grabbing everyone's attention.
No, oyster toadfish have a way of grabbing. I'm just the ambassador for the toadfish.
Yes, Ambassador Bowser.
But this allows you, but this is very, I would think when you do this with kids, this is very powerful.
It's amazing.
Powerful.
It's very, very powerful. And, you know, Day in the Life of the River, one of the things I tend to do when I go out there is I ask kids for a show of hands, how many of them have been to the Hudson River? How many of them have been in the Hudson River? Maybe they've been to the river, but they haven't been in it, or they haven't gone fishing or swimming.
What the hell? What are you doing?
I just wanted to hold this up so Joe could take a look at this beautiful
face. Oh, it's got
teeth. It definitely has teeth.
Man,
this is a predatory animal.
Look at those suckers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are some real teeth.
You think it's easy living in New York Harbor?
Well, no.
No, you'd want teeth too.
I guess so. But now, how is this a rare species at all, or are these quite common?
I would call this a common species, but it's the kind of thing that you're not going to see swimming around easily. This likes to hide on the rocks and in the bottom. So you've got to be looking for them to find them. But they're out there.
Plus,
and
he's camouflaged. You know, mm-hmm. That's the whole strategy for these animals is to blend in with their surroundings.
And if I'm out there trudging around, just wanting to cool off a little bit, he's not going to bother me.
Oh, he's going to go right for your big toe.
Take a lot more than those teeth, I'll tell you that.
By the way, this animal is so rugged. The oyster toadfish is one of a select group of animals that NASA has sent up into space for scientific experiments.
And what does that do? What do we find out?
Hey, we're studying the growth of how animals grow in zero gravity anyway.
Yeah, and they figured, if we have to sacrifice something, let's sacrifice a toadfish.
I wasn't part of that board. But Day in the Life is this great event. We get people thinking about the river. It gets people back to the riverside. And then hopefully that also translates into other programs that we do. So we don't just work with students. We work with the general public, we work with families, and we work with a lot of municipalities and planners on a whole host of projects that are all focused on revitalizing the watershed so that we, as Hudson Valley residents, live in the healthiest ecosystem possible. And I think Fran wants to talk about some really great initiatives that we just announced last week.
These are like grants that will help make this happen.
Yes. So, you know, one of the things we like to think about is the whole ecosystem of the Hudson. So Day in the Life is focused on getting kids out on the river to experience it firsthand. But our program works in the entire Hudson River ecosystem, what we call the watershed, all the drainage basin of the Hudson. And flooding is still very much on people's mind. You know, it's just about a year since Hurricane Irene. And a lot of people are really starting to notice flooding in the valley, in the tributaries, even in communities. So one of the things we're trying to do is help communities deal with flooding because it benefits our tributaries. If we can control the flooding, it doesn't wash pollutants and sediment into the streams. And it also helps people in communities who are dealing with the day-to-day impacts of flooding. So we have just given three grants for what we call green infrastructure, and that's a big word that basically refers to things that can be done to mimic natural processes on the land, especially in cities. So we're enabling a project in Poughkeepsie, one in Kingston, and two in Orange County, one in Middletown and one in the Warwick Central School District, to build what we call rain gardens.
Now, this would allow the water to soak in,
yes,
as opposed to collecting in the streets and the sidewalks,
exactly,
and then going all in one fell swoop, as it were.
Exactly. So with rain, you really want it to spread out and soak in. But a lot of things we've been doing with, you know, downspouts from our roofs, it goes straight to the driveway goes straight to the street goes, you know, into a storm drain, goes straight into the stream. The effect of this is damaging for the stream, and it's damaging for communities.
So how does the green, how does the dirt, how does that stuff, because then that acts then as a filter, right? Then that,
exactly,
takes all the stuff out.
Exactly. So we're actually going to be tearing up some pavement in those places, and we're going to be replacing it with gardens that are specially designed to capture rainwater and filter it slowly back into the ground.
When you look at that, and I'm certainly not... is this a drop in the bucket? I mean, is this like one thing? Like, this is what we need to do in general,
right? It is a
general,
drop in the,
right,
bucket, but, you know, or a teaspoon of sugar, as Pete Seeger likes to say. All these little teaspoons,
yeah,
add up, and it finally tips the scales. So, you know, green infrastructure, rain gardens, this is a new concept. And what we have found is when we talk about these things with engineers, with town boards, they want to say, well, will it work in our environment? It's been, you know, widely adopted in Philadelphia. It's being adopted in Syracuse. But people really need to know, you know, is it going to work here at home? So these are pilot projects that are in highly visible locations where we're going to demonstrate how you do this and show it at work. We believe this will lead to rapid adoption, as it did in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, they compete for who can have the most rain gardens, roof gardens, and other kinds of green infrastructure.
And I apologize for not being more eloquent before, but, you know, you wouldn't be eloquent either if you had a blue crab on your foot. All right, so now...
and a oyster toadfish, yeah, on your thumb.
Smiling at
I
me.
I think Joe's going to be in love with this creature by the time this segment's
I'm already in love. I think what's fascinating about this also is that from what I've read on this, that you have these areas for demonstration so that you can actually show people so they get the sense. So it's a bit of a sales tool as well.
Exactly.
And,
yeah,
saying, okay, this is happening, but here, look, see it in action.
Yes. So we're doing it at the county office building in Ulster County. We're doing it at the Cooperative Extension Office in Middletown, at the school district in Warwick, and in Poughkeepsie at an urban revitalization site on the Fallkill Creek. These are sites a lot of people are going to be looking at. We have great partners, like the Clearwater is a partner in the Poughkeepsie Project. They're going to be promoting this in their newsletter, in their PR. You know, we have ways of amplifying the message.
You know, when you think of... of this time of year, it's such a beautiful time, and so many people are coming up from the city. People are coming to see the foliage that is about to begin, and it's just a gorgeous time of year. And but it's also right now, a lot's happening on the river, so
it's
a great time to.
This is the fall migration,
yeah,
and everyone, you know, is clued into the fact the birds are migrating now. If you're really tuned into nature, you know the monarch butterflies are also making their migration down to Mexico. But what's happening in the river is something people don't see, which is all the little fish that were born in the Hudson in the springtime. Now they're an inch long, 2 inches long, 3 inches long. They're floating and swimming downstream. And pretty soon they'll end up in New York Harbor and they'll make their migration out into the ocean. So there is a coastal migration going on in the air, and there's a coastal migration going on in the water.
From the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation's Estuary Program, Fran Dunwell, the Hudson River Estuary Coordinator, and Chris Bowser, the Hudson River Science Educator, have been our guest, as well as Slimy Things. Chris and Fran, thank you very much for being with us.
Just want to remind everybody, next Thursday, Day in the Life of the Hudson River.
Next Thursday, be there.
You can find us on the web at Hudson River Estuary.